This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to episode number 60 of the Handgun World Show. Thank you for tuning in. I want to let you know right up front, this is a practical firearms podcast. I'm not a gunsmith or ex-law enforcement or military or combat trainer or anything like that. I'm just a regular citizen. I just believe in owning, shooting, carrying firearms. I'm just a Yankee with a gun, born in New York City, raised in Wisconsin, transplanted to the great Republic of Texas. And today, I am not driving for a change. I have the ability to actually be stationary in one position. I am in my vehicle, but I've got a little bit of downtime between business appointments. So I figured I would give you some thoughts today on the subject of the day. We're going to talk about accuracy. Is it me or is it the pistol? A lot of people find themselves asking that. Believe me, trust me, I've asked myself that. I've blamed it on the gun. And you know what I've learned? It's not the gun. Most of the time, it's not the gun. Yes, there are some guns more accurate than others, but most of the time, it's you. And so I want to talk about some things that I have been able to put into practice. And, you know, I don't have enough practice, even though I like to shoot almost every single weekend doing IDPA or something. Folks, we always need practice on the basics. And I'll throw my hand up in the air and say that I'm the first one that needs practice. But before I get into that, I want to talk about some news and a couple of announcements. Let's start with some news. A listener sent me a email to an interesting news report. You got to hear this. This took place in Gresham, Oregon, near Portland. And I'll put a link to this entire article so you can read about it, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about what happened. A guy was arrested on suspicion of opening fire on two suspected iPhone thieves. Yeah, seriously. Two people trying to steal iPhones. A guy named Roger Witter, 48 years old, was at an AT&T store in the Gresham area when he saw two men trying to steal some iPhones. The police said that the guy chased after the thieves while armed with his gun. And the guy actually saw the men trying to drive away, so he decided to try to shoot out the car's tires. And the guy was quoted as saying, "It happened just so fast. I was trying to do the right thing and stop a robbery. It just happened so quickly. I wasn't planning on being a cowboy or any type of hero or anything like that. It just happened so quickly." Police said that the guy fired two shots in direct line with the Gresham City Hall Max Stop Park and Ride. And it's not clear if the shots hit the car. The guy told police he was just trying to detain the suspects until they arrived. The guy is being charged with unlawful use of a weapon, unlawful discharge of a firearm, reckless endangerment, and disorderly conduct. And this guy is quoted as saying, "I was just trying to stop a robbery. I was trying to stop these guys so the police could come and get them. Maybe I went a little too far." let me stop here. Duh, do you think? Now, you know, this saddens me when I see stuff like this, because this is truly irresponsible use of a firearm, excuse me. And this is what I say, folks. This is the kind of stuff that give those of us who are responsible, those who are law-abiding citizens that carry a gun and we're responsible with them, this is what the gun haters use to come after us. All right, please don't do something like this, folks. If you're carrying your gun and you see a crime taking place, use your gun to defend yourself. So if a criminal turns his weapon on you or is threatening your life, then by all means, use your pistol. But unless you are a cop, don't go around playing cop. That's not what having a concealed carry license and having a gun is all about. I wanted to share that with you. Folks, dumb move on this guy's part. Just a stupid move. Please don't do that. I'm all about good, responsible gun ownership. All right, that concludes the news. But before I get into the main topic, I want you to go ahead and listen to this announcement.
You know what makes me furious? Politicians who pass laws keeping me from owning or carrying a handgun. Tens of thousands of women have been raped, beaten, and killed in this country. Virtually all of them had two things in common. They weren't armed and the police weren't around when they were attacked. I don't want to be raped or maimed or murdered, so I carry a handgun, even though that bothers some people. I don't care. Nobody tells me I can't defend myself, especially some politician living in a safe neighborhood who has bodyguards you and I pay for. If you ask me, these politicians are on the criminal side. Handguns are small, easy to carry and use, and very effective for self-defense. That's why the police carry them. Get smart, sisters. Criminals can get all the guns and knives they want. How does taking away our guns make us safer? Look, you may think you'll never be attacked by a criminal, but I'll bet that's what all those other women thought.
Okay, time for the main topic. Accuracy. Is it me or is it the pistol? We're going to talk about perfecting your shooting skills and improving the ability to get good hits. Many people, including a lot of police officers and private citizens and military people, a lot of them think that they can just go out and religiously practice their shooting and improve their skills and not have to have some kind of a shooting coach or any kind of training. They believe that the more I just go out there and practice, the better I'm going to get. Now, I've been guilty of times of thinking of this. And I've also been guilty on this podcast. I started thinking about it. I've been guilty about telling you just go out and practice, practice, practice. But think about something. What if you're practicing things the wrong way? Practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. And a lot of people, a lot of shooters get real discouraged when their scores don't improve, and they actually sometimes get worse over time. The problem is that incorrect shooting practices condition a person to continue to shoot poorly. Every time you practice shooting, it's important that you do it correctly. You have to constantly assess your level of performance and correct the problems immediately before they become bad habits. And I've said many times, I'm not a tactical trainer or anything like that, but I've learned a few things along the way that I want to share with you and talk about some of the mistakes that I've made out there and see if it may be something that will help you. And when our accuracy is poor, we sometimes find ourselves asking, is it me or is it the gun? Most common shooting mistakes are a result of the shooter simply failing to apply two of the most important shooting fundamentals. Let's get back to the fundamentals again, folks. You know, people should go back to basics at least once every year. If you want to be a professional at something, or even if you just want to get proficient. And shooting a gun is no different. You have to constantly work on the basics, basics, basics. Things like sight alignment and trigger press. Notice I didn't say trigger pull. I'm trying to get trigger pull out of my vocabulary. It should be a trigger press. I'll get into that in more detail in a few minutes. Sometimes your accuracy suffers because you're anticipating recoil, or you don't have the proper grip, or you don't have the proper breathing control, or just plain and simply you got a poor sight picture. There's so many things that play into being able to make good shots, good hits consistently, and make them count. And I don't know about you folks, but if I'm in a self-defense situation, if I'm fighting for my life and my stress is at an all-time high, and I'm in a high adrenaline state, I don't want to make mistakes. And I've said it once and I'll say it again, you're only going to be about a third as good as you are in a real-life situation than you are at the range. And I got to tell you a funny story that just recently happened to me. About a week and a half ago when I took my renewal class for my concealed carry license. It's been 5 years since I got licensed in Texas and I took the renewal class. There was a guy there in the shooting portion of our class complaining about the types of targets he was shooting. He didn't like the color and he didn't like the shape. Can you believe that? And I thought to myself, I'm scratching my head going, I don't believe what I'm seeing here. This guy is complaining about the color and the shape of the target. You know, what's going to happen if he has to use his gun to defend himself? Is he going to complain about what the bad guy looks like? I mean, is he going to say, oh, gee, I'm sorry, I don't like the shape of your body, sir. You know, what's he going to do, not shoot? Because, I mean, it's just frustrating when I see some of the dumb stuff that some shooters come up with. And I could definitely tell this was one of these types of guys that only shows up probably at the range once a year and shoots one box of ammo. Now, I don't like to pick on people too much because, you know, at least I'm glad that the guy has his concealed carry license, you know, and I'm glad that he's exercising a right that he has. But good Lord, you know, I mean, don't be complaining about the targets, and it makes no difference what type of target you use. All right, so anyway, I got off on a tangent there. Sorry about that. Let's get back to accuracy here. For the purposes of this podcast, let me just assume that you're a right-handed shooter. So everything I tell you, you lefties, just reverse it. But let's assume you're a right-handed shooter. A loosely scattered group of shots is usually an indicator that you're not focusing on the front sight. It's usually an indicator that you're probably looking over your sights to watch the target. One thing you can do to tighten your group a little bit is simply keep your eyes focused on the front sight. Front sight is so important. You know, because the eye can only focus on one distance at any one time, keep in mind your target might be a little fuzzy, the rear sight might be a little bit fuzzy, but that's okay. The most important thing is your front sight. That's why so many people use fiber optic sights for competition or large front sights for combat. Like I've talked about so many times, the XS big dot sights. You know, that's why so many people are using sight systems like that or bright colored night sights up front, because you want that front sight to stand out and be the first thing that you see when you bring your pistol up to get a sight picture. Okay? Shots that hit low and left. There's a common accuracy problem people have. Low and left. Usually that's a result of anticipating recoil or jerking the trigger. And when you're jerking the trigger, it causes the front sight typically to dip low and left for a right-handed shooter. This is really common with people who shoot Glocks for the first time. As you know, I'm a big Glock fan, and people who shoot Glocks typically report when they first are starting to get used to them, while they're giving it the 1,000-round trigger job, the first 150 rounds or so, they say, oh man, I'm shooting low and left, and they blame it on the gun. It's not the gun's fault. If you don't believe me, get on the internet and just Google Dave Sevigny. S-E-V-I-G-N-Y. Dave Sevigny. I don't know how many national championships for IDPA and IPSC that he's won and different championships, but the guy is insanely accurate and fast with a Glock. I'll put a link to his website in the show notes. Watch him shoot. Or go to an IDPA match or an IPSC match and watch an expert or master class shooter shoot a Glock. Low and left is not the Glock's fault, folks. Once you get used to the trigger, the problem will go away. Keep in mind, the key is just to apply steady pressure to the trigger without disturbing the sight alignment. Just a gentle press of the trigger until the gun fires. Press the trigger. Don't pull the trigger, just press it smoothly, no jerking. That'll help clear the low and left problem. Okay, now let's talk about high and left. Shots that go high and left can be caused by improper follow-through. Sometimes if you relax too soon after the shot's fired, or the trigger finger breaking contact with the trigger during recoil. Shots that are off to the left of center of mass usually are a result of not very good sight alignment or an incorrect position of the finger on the trigger. Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about the position of your finger on the trigger. If your finger is not far enough into the trigger guard, you're going to push the front sight off to the left. Again, talking about a right-handed shooter. You're going to push the front sight to the left, and guess what? That's where your shot's going to go. The best way for me to describe how you should put your finger on the trigger is this. Think about when you first got your concealed carry license. Remember when they fingerprinted you? I mean, at least those of you who are in states where they have to fingerprint you. But think about applying your fingerprint down on some kind of a piece of paper. The trigger of your gun should lie directly in the center of the first part of your index finger. Okay? In other words, the top of that fingerprint. The first joint of your finger, between the first joint and the tip of your index finger, the top of that fingerprint, that's where the trigger should lie. If that trigger lies across the center of that top part of your fingerprint, the trigger should press straight to the rear without disturbing your sights. It's kind of the best way, hopefully that's clear to you. If it's not, if I have to, I'll put a picture of what I'm talking about on the website at handgunworld.com, or I'll post it at the Gun Rights Radio Network forums. But that's kind of the best way I could describe it. Now, shots that are to the right of center of mass usually are a result of improper sight alignment or your finger too far through the trigger guard. In other words, you got your finger too far in there. All right, you got too much. Yeah, you have that trigger is too close to the center of your overall finger. Okay, that's going to pull the shots off to the right. Again, if the trigger lies right on the center of the first joint of your finger, it should press straight to the rear without disturbing the sights. But if you've got your finger stuck in there too far, you're going to push it. You put your shots to the right, and if you don't have it put in there far enough, you're going to push the gun to the left. Again, left-handed shooters, obviously, reverse this stuff. Pushing your weak hand thumb against the pistol frame is also a common problem. I've seen people do this. Their weak hand thumb is pushing against the pistol frame so much that the shot that they're actually pushing the pistol to the right. Okay? So think about that. Now, if your shots are high and right, that usually means several problems, actually. You could have, again, improper sight alignment or not a good sight picture. But the most likely cause is what's commonly called healing the weapon. Let's talk about healing. Okay, that's where you exert excessive pressure on the bottom portion of the grip. Okay, another version of this problem is also called milking the grip, where you're tensing, you're constantly tensing and loosening your grip on the gun. Now, you can test this yourself by just take your pistol and point at the target and flex your pinky and your ring fingers and see how the front sight moves up and down when you do that. That can be a problem. So if you're shooting high and right, pay attention to what you're doing to your grip and, of course, as always, sight picture. Now, let's say you're shooting right directly above center of mass. They're not left or right, you're just shooting too high. Sometimes that indicates that you're just looking over the top of the rear sight. The best way to correct this is refocus your attention on the front sight. Make sure that you have the correct sight picture. Make sure you have a symmetrical image of the front sight sitting squarely in the rear notch. And make sure that the top of the front sight is level with the top of the rear sight if you're using the standard notch and post type sights. Now, in the case of excess big dot sights, which I like to use for defense, make sure that that big dot is resting perfectly in the middle of the wide V-shaped notch, a dotting the eye concept. With my Glock 34 with the Warren Tactical sights, you know, that's one of the reasons why I like black on black, and I like those nice tall sights, and I like the rear sight on the Warren Tactical because it's there's a lot of real estate. It's got a very wide notch. You know, you want that, folks. You want a nice wide notch, especially if you're in competition shooting. But, there's a lot of people that even believe in those types of sights just for general self-defense. There's a good argument for that. Just make sure you're lining up the top of that front sight with the top of the rear sight. That should help correct your shooting high problem. Okay, now, some of what I just talked about is fairly easy to correct. Let me get in depth a little bit more here on a couple things. Let me get back to the point about healing the gun. That's a more difficult problem to correct. Letting your wrist go limp, commonly called limp wristing. You see that a lot. And anticipating shots. These types of problems are a little bit more difficult to correct. Let me talk a little bit about them again. Again, I'm no expert, but I'm going to share some personal experience here with you. Healing and jerking the trigger are usually caused because I'm either anticipating the shot or I start to anticipate the recoil. And I've done that a lot, especially anticipating the recoil. You know, if I'm shooting a 40 or a 45, I find myself doing that a lot. Healing the gun, as I mentioned earlier, is a result of squeezing the grip way too hard, especially with your bottom two fingers. It's also aggravated by holding the gun too low on the grip. This is why I say, and that's why I did that video on how to grip a pistol, and how to get a good high grip on the pistol. You can avoid healing the gun if you've got a good high grip. Get the web of your hand up there as high up on the tang of that pistol as you can. And as I've mentioned before, by getting your grip up high, it lowers that bore axis. Glocks, XDs, but Glocks and Smith & Wesson M&Ps have a low bore axis anyway. One reason why I don't like the Springfield XDs, for me, they sit too high in my hand. You may like them. I'm not knocking you if you own that kind of a gun. I'm just saying for me, it's just a little bit too high. But if you're shooting something like an XD or a SIG, get your hand up high on that grip. If you're shooting a 1911, get your hand up high, right underneath that beaver tail the beaver tail portion of your grip. Get that. What I'm trying to say is get your hand up high on the pistol. I think you get the point. Okay, milking the gun, by the way, as I mentioned earlier, it's similar to healing, except here, what a lot of shooters do, and I've done this, folks, I start tightening the hand at the same time that I'm trying to press the trigger. Not a good thing to do. Don't start tightening your grip at the same time that you're pressing the trigger. The solution is to hold the gun, as I mentioned earlier, as high up on the grip as possible, and then start applying steady pressure to the grip. Now, I like to use the 60-40 concept, where basically 60% of the pressure I'm using to hold the pistol is with my weak hand, and only 40% is with my strong hand. Think about this. Try this. Just make a fist. Make a fist and clench that fist as hard as you can. Now, extend your index finger. Keep holding the fist. Extend your index finger and try to move your index finger as if you're pulling a trigger. Excuse me, pressing a trigger. Hold your index finger out while you're making that fist and see how easy it is. It's kind of tough to move, isn't it? Now relax your fist and make a trigger pull motion with your index finger. Is it easier now with your relaxed grip? Don't relax it too much because then you're limp wristing, but with practice, you'll figure out what kind of a grip that you need to get on your pistol. Jerking the trigger tends to happen when you know the gun is about to fire and you react to the recoil before the shot's even fired. Do you ever do that? I have, way too many times. I still do it. It seems like no matter how much I practice, every once in a while, especially in an IDPA match, I find myself on a couple targets trying to anticipate the shot or anticipate the recoil, and I mess myself up. Okay, let me give you a good useful exercise that you might want to try. I read about this technique on another website. I want to share it with you. It's called the ball and dummy. You can do this real easily if you're a revolver shooter. Take a revolver. Take a six-shot revolver. Put three rounds into the cylinder. Let's say you put two rounds in a row and then skip one cylinder and then put in a third round. Or maybe skip two of those cylinders and put the third round in like two cylinders away from the second round. And then shoot it. And what you're going to find is when the hammer drops, if you have a hammer on your revolver, or actually when you shoot a revolver on an empty chamber, watch what your sights are doing. If you have a semi-auto, you can just do this by making sure that it's unloaded. Or you can stick a snap cap in there, which I would suggest that you do. And what you might want to do is try this. I've done this, and this works real good, too. I've done this with my semi-autos. Go to the range with a friend. Hand the friend one of your magazines. Have your friend put six rounds in the magazine. Have him put two of the six have those be snap caps. In other words, so he's loaded six rounds. Four of them are live. Two of them are snap caps. And you don't know where the snap caps are. What's gonna happen is when you get to that snap cap, you're just gonna hear a click. Your gun's obviously not gonna go off. All right, and see what happens to your trigger. See what happens to your sight alignment. See what happens to your front sight when you press that trigger on a round that's not live. And if you're anticipating, if you're flinching or something like that, you're gonna see your front sight dip as the hammer falls on your 1911 or on your revolver. Or you're going to see that front sight dip at the same time you hear the click of a Glock that didn't go off because you didn't know where the snap cap was going to be. So concentrate on applying steady pressure to the trigger and holding the sights on the target until after the gun fires. Holding your sights steady on the target until after the gun's fire. Okay, this is just simply called good follow-through. Okay, just, you know, with good practice, folks, you'll learn to eliminate the problem of anticipating either the shot or the recoil, and hopefully your performance is going to improve. Now, before I get into segment number two of this show, I just want to say this. Remember, sometimes there's just no substitute for a good shooting coach. This is why I'm such a huge believer in training. or and practicing with good shooters, with people that are have been doing this for a long time and are good shooters that can help coach you and help you learn, especially for you new shooters out there. Someone who can observe you shooting and analyzing, and I have a lot of people videotape me when I'm shooting. My son loves to do this. He loves to videotape me when I'm shooting, and I love to let him do that because then I can go back and I can watch the tapes, watch the videos on my digital camera, and I can see, and I can even zoom in sometimes, and I can see what's my body doing, what are my hands doing, what's my trigger finger doing, what is the front end of the pistol doing when I'm pulling the trigger and when I'm firing the gun. Okay, so get those good shooting coaches and learn from them. All right, going to take a brief break here, just about a 30-second break, and then I'll be on with segment number two of this episode. Okay, folks, Bob Main from the Handgun World Show back with you for segment number two. Before I dive into let me go ahead and cover a couple of announcements I did not get a chance to make in the first half of this episode. First of all, I want to mention the website is handgunworld.com. For those of you who have not signed up for a membership over at the Gun Rights Radio Network Forum, it is free. Get on there, interact with me and all the other podcasters and many good shooters who are on that forum. It's an excellent place. Join the Gun Rights Radio Network Forum. Just go to gunrightsradio.com and click the forum button. It'll get you to where you need to go. And don't forget about my YouTube channel. Go to YouTube and just search Handgun World Show. I'm going to put some new videos up there as soon as I possibly can. And the final announcement I want to make before I get into segment number two is, I think some listeners kind of got the wrong idea of what I'm trying to do with this show. I recently sent an email out to some of you, those of you that I have email addresses for, talking about a fundraising event that I'm trying to organize. What I'm simply trying to do is raise some money for some good causes, for the Gun Rights Radio Network, for the NRA, Gun Owners of America, The folks that are trying to get open carry pass, JPFO, different organizations like that. I'm trying to raise money to give back. You know, a lot of you have been good to me. Those of you who have been listening to this show, you've been very, very good to me. The Gun Rights Radio Network's been good to me, and I've been an NRA member for a long time, and folks, the NRA helps us with our gun rights. No matter what you think of them, they are making some progress, good progress. So I just want you to know, it is not my goal to commercialize this show. It's not my goal to make this show into some huge profit-making event. These podcasts are always going to be free. This is not my full-time job. I have a good job. I love it. I get up every day excited about doing my job. I really do. I'm telling you, I really enjoy it, and I intend to keep it. This is just a hobby that I have a blast doing. No pun intended. This is just a heck of a lot of fun, folks. Every once in a while, I like to pay a few bills, and I like to raise money for good causes. That's all I'm trying to do. So I'm kind of putting my thinking cap on, going back to square one, trying to figure out how to do this. I'm going to announce something shortly. Not quite sure. It might be a gun raffle where I'm actually going to raffle off a pistol. I've got a couple of ideas that I'm kind of kicking around in my head. So really, if some of you have some good ideas, send them to me. But I just want to get the point out there that I'm not trying to commercialize or put a price on my show. I'm not that arrogant, folks. I'm just a private citizen like all of you, just trying to get the word out, okay? Hopefully that answers maybe some of the concerns that some of you had about that. All right, that concludes the announcements. Let me use the second half here to talk about a post that was put up by a deputy sheriff and a shooting trainer. And he's talking about accuracy again, since that's the subject matter. Now, some of this might be repetitive, but that's okay, because repetition is the mother of learning. But he was talking about fixing shooter flinch. And he said, as I mentioned earlier, remove the magazine from your weapon and make sure the chamber's not loaded. Place a dime on top of the barrel and the slide. on top of the barrel slide, and balance that dime on the top of the slide of your gun. Then get a firm, but not death grip, hold on the pistol. Place your finger on the trigger and go only to just above the first joint of your trigger finger, as I mentioned earlier, and now press the trigger to the rear slowly. Do not knock the dime off the barrel. Try not to even let the dime move. Now, Glocks have a flat slide, so you put a dime on there, and it's not going to very easily fall off unless you're really yanking that trigger pretty bad. But try to dry fire your gun without even letting that dime move on top of your slide. Okay, and then he said, now go to the range and load the gun with an alternate, live round, then dummy round, then live, then dummy round, and then stagger them, have a friend stagger them, as I mentioned earlier, and as you go to fire, you might fire a live round, then you might end up just hearing the click when you get to the dummy round. Okay, and that's the ball and dummy exercise, like I talked about earlier in the show. Now, he also has some good stuff here about sight alignment. He says, make sure that your front post is squarely in the middle of the rear notch, as I mentioned earlier. And if you're shooting low, it means that you're not holding your sights properly and you're not getting proper elevation. So you have to make sure that you have good sight alignment. Now, he also talks about stance. And stance is something I haven't covered in this show yet. So let me share with you what this trainer talks about on stance. Now, before I share with you what he talks about as far as the isosceles and the Weaver stance, I guess I use kind of an unconventional stance, and maybe I need to change that a little bit. When I watch my videos, I look at it and I realize that I'm not really using an isosceles or a Weaver stance. I'm just, kind of positioning my body to be able to shoot the gun as accurately as I possibly can. My thoughts, you may disagree, I don't know, and if you disagree with me, send me some comments. I'm always open to comments, folks, you know that. I love to get good, positive, indifferent, whatever. I love to get good comments from you. But I'm just of the belief that I don't think you should concentrate too much on stance. At least don't over-concentrate. I'm not saying don't pay attention to your stance. Just don't over-concentrate on it to where you start messing some other parts of your shooting up. Practice with the sight alignment, the trigger control, and everything we've talked about so far is going to help you a great deal. But this trainer writes that a basic novice stance is, you've heard it probably before, the isosceles stance, which is you standing with both feet shoulder width apart in a two-hand grip. Now, the disadvantage to this is that you are exposing more of your body to the bad guy shooting back at you. So think about that. That isosceles triangle type stance might not be what you want to do because you're giving your enemy an easier target to hit. So then he writes about the Weaver stance, which we've all probably heard about. Now, the Weaver stance is you turn your body to the side with your strong leg behind you for your for support. You extend your weapon hand, keeping your elbow joint in close. You grasp your shooting hand with your non-shooting hand in a kind of a push-pull type of a grip that I talked about earlier. And supposedly this stance gives you a solid foundation to shoot. It gives you better protection and you're not exposing your body as much. Now, I just want to say that that is open to argument. I mean, I understand that you're not going to expose your body as much to the bad guy. That's a good thing. I give him the point on the Weaver stance. But there are some negatives of the Weaver stance because I just, it's one more thing you have to think about. And I think in a self-defense situation, I think you need to practice shooting from all kinds of strange positions. Like in that podcast I put out a couple weeks ago. If you recall, I talked about learning how to shoot from all kinds of different strange positions when you're lying on your back, when you're laying prone, when you're laying on your side, when you're sitting, so forth. Shooting while you're walking, shooting while you're retreating, shooting while you're moving forward. All those things, you're probably not going to be able to get into a Weaver stance to make those shots. And I don't think the bad guy is going to stand there and let you make sure you get into your perfect Weaver stance before you shoot at him, okay? He's not going to allow you to do that. So I don't want to tread on the people that believe that the Weaver stance is the best because, you know, there's a lot of merit to it. I'm just saying, don't get so hung up on that. If you're doing all the other basics the right way, even shooting from strange positions is going to be easier for you to do because you've mastered the other basics that I've talked about earlier in this podcast as far as shooting accurately. Now, let me share a trick with you. Let me talk a little bit about point shooting for a minute, because you've heard me talk before about point shooting, also called instinctive shooting. In a shootout or combat, I've mentioned before, you don't always have the time or the opportunity to get good sight alignment. Matter of fact, you may never even use your sights at all. So here's a drill for you to do. Find a target and point your finger at it. Okay, just hold your finger there. Now, that's easy to do, right? Now, pick up your gun and extend your finger as if you're pointing. Hold your finger alongside the slide of your gun if you're using a semi-auto. And while you're holding your gun, go ahead and point your finger at the target again, right? Now, that's fairly easy, right? Now, just concentrate on that and do that several times. First, point at a target without the gun in your hand. Then pick up your gun and point at the target again. If you can point at your target, you can hit it. I'll say that again. If you can point at your target, you can hit it. Now, once you've done that, now raise your gun up and use the barrel as a substitute for your finger and point the barrel towards the target. If you practice this enough, you should be able to draw from your holster and point the weapon, fire it, and hit the target. Seriously. Some people don't believe this. I do. I think that you can definitely, if you practice it with enough, you burn it into your muscle memory, you know, and start with the target close. Start with the target 3 or 4 yards away and point your pistol at the target. Draw, point, shoot. Draw, point, shoot. Just keep practicing that over and over and over again. Start, as I mentioned earlier, without a gun in your hand, pointing at the target, and follow the steps I just got done describing. You know, just remember, when you're firing a pistol in self-defense, you're not a sniper. You know, you can't expect that type of accuracy. And, you know, that means that sight alignment, breathing control, and sometimes like that, you may not have time for all that. You know, if you hit a person in the arm, it's a hit. You may have to keep on shooting because hitting them in the arm might not stop them. But think about it. If you hit a person in the arm, it's one hit. Shoot again. Shoot for the leg. All right, if you hit him in the leg, that's another hit. You might not be shooting for the leg, but you may end up hitting them there. Keep shooting. There's an old saying, you just keep pulling the trigger till your threat stops. Okay? Any bullet strike's going to hurt the bad guy. It's going to hurt him like hell, folks. Don't underestimate that. You know, it can kill, it can incapacitate, it can maim, it will get their attention. Any hit is going to get their attention. This is why I believe in high-capacity guns, because you may have to fire numerous times to stop your attacker. You just keep shooting until he stops what you're doing. Okay, don't pressure yourself so much for center shots and shooting inch-and-a-half groups. Just shoot to stop them, period. A hit is a hit. Okay? And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to wrap up the show. But I just want to say, you know, accuracy. Is it me or the pistol? That was the first point I made when I opened this podcast. It's probably not the gun. Everything I've just talked about in this podcast is called shooter accuracy. As I mentioned earlier in a previous show, there's two different types of accuracy. There's inherent accuracy and there's shooter accuracy. Inherent accuracy is what your gun is capable of. Shooter accuracy is what you are capable of. So don't be tempted to say that the gun is the problem. You know, it's kind of like golf. When someone's not any good in golf, they have a million and one excuses, and it's typically not the golf balls or the bags or the clubs or the course or the position of where they put the hole and all that. It's usually not that. It's the golfer. Same thing. It's the shooter. It's not your gun. And again, I'll say in closing, I'll raise my hand and I'll say I am very guilty of blaming my guns too much for my poor shooting. And sometimes I need to be whacked up alongside the head and reminded that it's not the gun in most cases. Most modern handguns that are produced today, most of them are far more accurate than the people shooting them. Don't forget about the 1,000-round trigger job. You will be better on the 1,000th shot, a lot better than you were on the first shot. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and close. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Bob Main. This is the Handgun World Show. And folks, the reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in. Catch you next time. Bye-bye.